Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro and Micro News for Monday, the 5th of August, 2024. And it's a bloodbath out there, red everywhere. By the way, if you want to receive my weekly tips email, then go to sharepickers.com/tips. Okay, let's look at the indices here. This is how it's looking at the moment. You've got the FTSE 100 down 2.39%, the FTSE 250 down 3.24%, the FTSE small cap down 3.16%, the AIM All Share down 3.04%. We've got Bitcoin down 11%. The Nikkei is down about 7 or 8%. It's down over 25% in the last month. It's been the worst sort of performance since, well, over 10 years, since 1987 they're looking at. And it's a bit of a bloodbath. So the reason this is happening, essentially, this is macro story number one, the biggest one out there pretty much. Stock indices around the world have slumped after weak manufacturing and employment data from the US, raising concerns there's a recession inbound. And this has been compounded by Japan's central bank raising their interest rates. Of course, most central banks are reducing their interest rates, but Japan's been at zero or minus interest rates for a long time, hence why their stock market's done very well. But now they're raising rates, and this messes up the carry trade, which is where people borrow yen at negative rates or low rates and buy, say, you know, foreign assets like US stocks. Now, because the interest rate has gone up, you know, in yen in Japan, and it's costing them to borrow this money, so they're having to sell their US assets. So the problem is here, the Fed has been late to the party again. They were late to raise interest rates when inflation started coming in, and now it looks like they are late again. There's all this hope about, you know, a soft landing happening, whereas the US could even stay higher for longer with interest rates and it wouldn't affect the economy too much. They wouldn't go into recession. That now looks like it's not going to happen. And so last week, there were forecasted to be 2 interest rate cuts for America this year. Now, 5. That's a huge change. And they're even saying there could be an emergency rate cut this week, which is quite scary. Now, there's good news to this, you know, this story, this theme that's going on, is that first and foremost, reducing interest rates is good for equities. But if the Fed do an emergency rate cut, that may panic the markets. So even though equities will perform, hopefully, you know, over the next 3-6 months, I think in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be very volatile, depending on what the Fed does in America. Now, what will be good is bonds straight away. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I started buying bonds, and they've been performing very well, thankfully, because the equity side of my portfolio is okay, but they've been taking a big hit today. So I would say, if you're looking around for stable return on your money, it's not going to be, you know, breakneck rising like you would get with macro cap stocks, but a stable return on your money, look at bonds. I mean, I hold, government bonds, UK gilts, that is, and also corporate American bonds, you know, high-grade investment bonds there. So they will rise, especially if the Fed comes out and reduces interest rates. Now, it may wobble the equity market due to the panic. The Fed, pretty much by doing this, are admitting they're wrong. Staying higher for longer, hoping for that soft landing, it's not going to happen. They've missed it. They've been looking at data in the rearview mirror. There's been real-time data coming out that's been showing that the US economy, even though it's been strong, the performance has been getting weaker and weaker. And now the manufacturing data suggests they are in contraction and more jobs are being lost, or they're not bringing on as many jobs as before. This shows a trend the Fed have not been paying attention to. So expect volatility in equities expect bond prices to rise. The yields will come down, of course, but the prices will rise. So I'm thinking if you want a safe haven, bonds are probably the way forward, and then let the equity settle down. I do think there will be some opportunities here. There's been, you know, when you get this, you know, it's non-specific. You know, if you've got a good company, good fundamentals, and it's selling off massively, and you see its growth, it's got good value, then maybe the chance, I never jump in on days like this, I let it settle down for a bit, but there will be the chance to get back into these stocks or buy some stocks, invest in some stocks at some very good valuation, because like I said, it's indiscriminate. The sell-off is on everything pretty much. You know, so do your research, find some good businesses that have just been taken down in this global sell-off, and I think you'll benefit over the next 3 to 6 months, because we are now on a path of rate reduction, and that is good for equities. Okay, like I said, for the next couple of weeks may be volatile. Story number two on the macro front. British services companies reported an influx of new orders and the biggest rise in employment for over a year during July, as optimism rose on the back of Prime Minister Keir Starmer's election victory. A survey showed the S&P Global UK services purchase. Remember, the UK is largely a service-based economy. 80% of our economy is service-based as opposed to manufacturing. Anyway, the services PMI rose in July to 52.5 from 52.1 in June, and revised up slightly a preliminary estimate of 52.4. So, like I said, this is very good, because services forecast was 52.4. It came in at 52.5. The previous month was 52.1. So it's going up. Above 50 signifies expansion. Below that is contraction. And this brings the composite PMIs up. This is both manufacturing, which were good for UK last week. And I did say on Twitter, I know it's a silly thing to say, but I did say, why is the UK selling off when our indices haven't rallied like crazy, like the S&P 500, the NASDAQ has, and yet our manufacturing sector is expanding? The valuations are cheap on our stocks, but we are obviously in contagion with America here and is selling off. But the composite PMI now, which includes manufacturing, is now at 52.8 for July. That's up from 52.3 in June, and it beats forecast, which was 52.7. So I think, you know, UK is where it's at now. There's money inflow into the pound, and especially now, if in fact, that's a thought. If there is a rate reduction, of course, the pound weakened a little bit with our rate reduction of 25 basis points, but if there is a rate reduction in the US, then the pound will strengthen again, more money inflow. You know, we've had the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 250 and the FTSE small cap hitting 52-week highs, and a strengthening pound, which is very good. But we've had this, you know, wobble today because everything else is selling off. But I think you're better off being in the UK than the US. The UK is improving, the US is not. And story number three. Error and fraud in business tax schemes cost the UK £4.1 billion. Apparently, billions of pounds of taxpayer money has been lost to error and fraud in tax schemes designed to encourage research and development in business. Critics say some companies are claiming the tax breaks even if they are not doing any research and development. HMRC's latest accounts reveal £4.1 billion has been squandered since the schemes were introduced in 2020. It says the levels of error and fraud were unacceptable. The figures come as the new government rows with the old one about a hole in the public finances. You know, Rachel Reeves now, I've already almost lost my trust in her completely. When she first came in, I thought, you know, she seems like a smart lady, ex, Bank of England. She knows about finances, but she is playing politics with this £22 billion black hole. Like I said, there was public pay, you know, included in that, which pay increases, which she implemented. You know, so it's not all the Tories are doing. But there we are. I mean, in October, we will be seeing tax increases, capital gains tax. And I would say, if you are an investor, make sure you take out your full ISA allowance as far as stocks and shares are concerned, because that, of course, is immune to capital gains. There's a tax-free wrapper there. But make sure you're into that, because, like I said, they will be going for that. Capital gains. Okay, microcap news. Not a lot out there, really. I think it's almost as if companies knew what was coming. Very few releases today. Two I've got, microcaps, which is Cordal Group, which is CRDL ticker. They are the artificial intelligence platform for transport corridors analytics. It's pleased to announce that it's extended its relationship with Amtrak through the award of a contract to provide a comprehensive assessment of Amtrak's Metro North Corridor. The contract extension builds upon Cordal's ongoing work with Amtrak and aims to enhance safety and efficiency on the critical rail line. Just looking back at the unaudited results for the 6 months ended the 31st of December, they had revenue of 1.96 million versus 945k. So this is 108% top line growth, but they are making a loss. So loss before tax was 715,000. It's slightly reduced from 855,000 last year. They got cash of 1.19 million at the half year, so it seems like they can cover that. Well, if they carry on at current cash burn, they have over 12 months there of runway. Let me just check out the price there. So they are up a tiny bit today against the general market, you know, sell-off. They are up 2.36% to 4.56 pence. Their market cap is around about 9 million. I've been watching that company. I'm just waiting for them to sort of start generating a profit, you know, because I do like what they're doing, but that profit seems to be a long time coming. And the second story, which is, you know, a company that's been suffering, and I thought this would go into the wire, really. I think, you know, it's going to go through, going to go bust, essentially. But they've had a stay of execution here, or maybe, a rescue at the last minute. The directors of Guild Esports, a global gaming-focused media business, informed shareholders that the company has signed a letter of intent with DCB Sports, pursuant to which DCB will acquire 100% of the assets of Guild. There's no guarantee this transaction will complete, and Guild remains in discussions with other parties. The transaction remains subject to, amongst other things, entering into a definitive legal agreement and the completion of a comprehensive due diligence. If this doesn't go through, they're knackered. DCB Sports is a Californian-based investment management company specializing in emerging sports teams and novel leagues by managing partner Gary Labrido. Anyway, they have a market cap. Even today, this is literally, it's almost a comeback to life play or a near-death experience. They're up 66% to 0.2 pence, which would make their market cap, I think, just over £1 million. Because before this, maybe 1.5 million. So you've got to realise that at that level, a market cap, when you're losing money, there's not a good reason to be listed, you know? Because even in the costs alone to be listed range from, what, 300 to half million quid, pretty much. So, if you're not keeping covering that in this market as well, hard to raise money, then I don't see how you can survive. But they are up 66%. Like I say, if this deal doesn't go through, it doesn't look very good for them. Anyway, that's it for today. Listen, I don't think this sell-off will continue for long. I think there may be buying opportunities, but it's all dependent on the Fed. If they do this emergency rate reduction, I don't think the markets will react initially. Maybe they'll, maybe they'll have a little bounce, but there may be some volatility there. So we'll see. But who knows? There's also opportunity. Don't forget that. Again, just a reminder, to receive my weekly tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. That's T-I-P-S. Thanks for listening. Speak soon.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.